First, I am very excited to be here and excited to see that we have a robust crowd for this time of the evening. Happy Halloween. boo. So anyway, I really want to have some fun today with you guys. And I've been involved in impacting policy since the 80s. And have kind of an extensive background on that. Let's see. Let me make sure I do this right. That way. Yeah. Okay. So nobody has given me money to come here. I really don't think I have any conflict of interest, but I do own. I'm the founder and director of Population Health Consultants. So if you feel that this is a conflict, I wanted to disclose it to you that I am a consultant. Although I'm not here to try to solicit your business, okay? I'm trying to impart some information, so let me get that. I want to just go over some of the learning objectives. We are going to cover some very practical tips, and I'm going to give you some the business case for presenting public health, but we will go over the four components of self-efficacy theory as it relates to speaking to policymakers, the three key strategies to talking to policymakers, two measures to convert data. I'm going to use Stephen Toleman's work to convert data to impact policymakers' decisions and translate one public health experience into a compelling story to tell policymakers. So, but before we go on, I just want to say our esteemed presenters this afternoon really tie in. I feel like I'm kind of the last piece of the puzzle because, Nancy, right? Nancy talked about one of the core components. We have three core components in public health nursing. That's assessment, assurance, and policy development. So Nancy spoke to the assessment, and Kelly and Deborah spoke to the assurance and somewhat the policy development in terms of your policies. And that's really important. And so it's also important that we understand how to translate the data to make the business case, because policymakers really don't care about the emotional fluff unless it impacts their family. Then all of a sudden they become very passionate about an issue, and then you're going to have a policy that appears to be voted on in your state legislature. So there we go. There's my 1-2 public health nursing and the connectedness. Okay. Did I go the wrong way? Yes. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So I just wanted to acknowledge my esteemed presenters. What I'd like to just talk about in self-efficacy theory, and I've got my resources here. I really like Bandera. He came up with self-efficacy theory. He really talks about it a lot. I used it in my breastfeeding project that I did a couple years ago. But mainly, you really have to be motivated into a movement and some kind of activity. So motivated to take action, and it usually is an issue that impacts, it has an emotional or emotive effect on you, and so you may not be fully comfortable with making a decision to take action, but so the next key step is to gain knowledge so that you can make the decision to take action. So part of the goal of this presentation is to give you some clear steps so you feel comfortable in really talking to your policymaker. Sorry. I just want to make sure I keep on track here, because I do get rather animated at times. Okay, so, yeah, a little animated. It's Lucille Ball. I channel her quite frequently. Okay, so I want to just for review, the key elements of advocacy. Advocacy is about creating policies where they really don't exist, but they're needed. Reforming harmful or ineffective policies. We can think of many of those that are out there. Ensuring good policies are implemented and enforced. I think we've heard that in here. And the goal of advocacy is policy change. So we can clearly say that all of us in this room as public health professionals really are advocates because we want to impact policy change. But now, here gets a little sticky part, okay, especially if you work for a government agency. What is lobbying? Okay, so these definitions come from a textbook by Longus, I really like this textbook. It's large print and easy to read and understand, at least for me. Okay, so lobbying is really exerting your influence to sway a policymaker. So indeed, when we advocate, we really are lobbying. But the difference is a lobbyist is somebody who's paid to do that. They are paid to become the source, become an expert. We have a lobbyist that's paid for the Coalition of Nurses in Advanced Practice. Kathy has been with us since 1991. I absolutely adore her. Actually, we kind of, she consulted with me on a lot of these slides. But she is paid by our organization to understand the issues about nurse practitioners so that we can get remove some of the barriers to our practice so we can provide care to people in rural areas. Because Texas has 258 counties. The majority are medically underserved populations, healthcare manpower shortage areas. And so we really need to have access to healthcare providers. So she really gets that. She also becomes the friend of the policymakers, and they know her and respect her. Okay. So my question to you all is, can a state or federal employee lobby? No, I mean, you can't really be a lobbyist. But can a state or federal employee advocate? Absolutely. And many times you may be called to give testimony. I've given testimony myself several times. Okay. So let's talk about building a case for a public health story, telling a public health story, or building a really good case. I love Stephen Toleman's book. It's The Uses of Argument. Let me make sure I didn't screw that up. I think my brain is dead from being so tired of being in all these conversations. Yes, The Use of Argument. My brain didn't fail me. So basically, there's a couple of key elements. You want to be able to connect your data and facts and link them to the conclusion. And so just kind of, I wanted to diagram this out because these are the general components of his book. And so the next slide, I'm going to show you a case. I mean, this is actually HUD data. And this, I live in Victoria, Texas, so I wanted to use our data there. So here's the facts. Each homeless person costs approximately $42,000 a year, according to HUD. And in Victoria, Texas, at our 2009 homeless count, we had 200 actual homeless. We have about 338 at risk. But now let me put, you're going, wow, that's a low number. I live in a county, Victoria has about 65,000 people. Okay, so you got to kind of keep that in perspective. We're getting ready to do our next homeless count. And just to let you know, just kind of a sneak peek of where we are, right now, Victoria has over 100 homeless vets, and we're talking living on the street, that are giving services. So we've had an increased number since 2009. So when we have our homeless count in 2013 in January, it's going to be very interesting to see how those numbers have changed and where all they are. Okay, so now we want to connect the data to our claim and then look at the proposition or the general statement. So public health nurses can help stakeholders, we know this, develop coordinated homeless care programs that could save Victoria County $840,000. So it's just simple math. But when you build a business case like that, your county commissioner and your policymakers are really going to listen to you because they don't, it's not that they don't care, but they got to deal with a budget. So you've got to really build the business case. Okay. So that's just the model, Stephen's model. I really like that. Okay, so let's talk about the five easy steps to talking to policymakers. Here's where I get to get a little animated with you, tell just a couple of stories. Okay, this is really, really important. It sounds basic, but it's very important, is you've got to really know who you're meeting with. Is it your senator or representative? Is he a Republican or Democrat? I know that sounds really basic, but you really got to know. And in Texas, most of them are Republicans. I'm considered a liberal in Texas. I didn't say what party I am, but that's what I'm considered with my views. So it's really important to go to your local areas and meet with your senator or representative in their districts. That's so important to build that relationship because, you know, you can call them up and say, this really concerns me. Then you become the subject matter expert for them. You want to know if they're liberal, moderate, conservative. And also, it's very important, do they serve on a key committee? In our, where I live, Jeannie Morrison, our representative, serves on the education committee. So she's really big with higher ed and, you know, those kinds of things. So it's really important for me to know that. Are they freshmen or an experienced legislator? If they're freshmen, you have an opportunity to go and proselytize to them about public health. You get to convert them, you know, get to really explain public health. So go educate those freshman legislators. Do they have any healthcare experience? And do they have any experience with any public health practitioners or in your specialty? You definitely want to know what their frame of reference is. Okay, so again, I know this sounds very basic, but this is really important. This is what, when we educate the nurse practitioners to go speak with their legislators, we really do get to the basics. But it's very important, and I'm going to tell you a little story, is to introduce yourself to your constituents. Richard, you tell them that, you know, you're the physician in charge of the MPH program in Virginia, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because the bottom line is constituents do count. Two stories. I went to D.C. and I decided I wanted to see Ron Paul because, you know, he's our senator from Texas and he was running at the time, you know, it was before he was out, odd man out. And so I just stopped by and he happened to be there and I got a photo with him on my camera and in his office back here, he's got the flag of Texas. So when you take a picture with him, you stand by the flag, you know. The other thing to know is if you go to visit your representative, your legislator, and their secretary or their aide says, oh, they're busy, this is very important. You know, I have always wanted to meet Senator Representative so-and-so. It will just take a second. I just would like to introduce myself because I'm a constituent. And I guarantee you that 10-second handshake will lead to a 5 or 10 minute conversation so you can relay your point. So be a little bit pushy in a nice way, okay? Here's something very, very important, and when Kathy and I talk about this, it's just really key. You cannot go in with a grocery list of issues. One point, keep it simple, pick the most vital point to convey your message to the legislature. Sorry. Why is it important to stick to one point? I just want to use Texas as an example. We meet every other year to work on laws and stuff like that. So in Texas, currently the ideal Senate district, it's one senator to over 800,000 people. Probably some of you guys in here live in major cities that don't even have that population. Ideal House district, so for Jeannie Morrison, our representative, it's 1 to 167,000. Victoria has about 67,000 people, so she probably covers like Refugio, Goliad, and some of the other outlying counties. So you can just see that, you know, you got to kind of keep that in perspective. So, okay, so here's the bills file. I'm sorry, I forgot this is animated. So in the 82nd legislative session, which was in 2011, there was almost 6,000 bills filed in Texas, okay? But here's the number of bills that passed, almost 14,000. So you can see, first of all, it's important to establish a relationship before we go in session, in non-session years for us. Some states go every year, so that when your issue comes up, you can address it. Because when they're in session, they're crazy. They don't have a lot of time. Okay. Step two, you want to offer solutions. Don't just go in and complain. You want to suggest how the problem could be fixed. You also want to tell them what you need them to do. propose the bill, vote on the bill, encourage it to get out of committee, that kind of thing. Remember to listen. I mean, it's really important, and I'm going to tell you just a little vignette, a little story in just 1 second. Remember, it's very important. It is all about relationships. You want to make the contact repeatedly, and their staffers are very important for you to get to know because they're going to be your inside lobbyists. So now let me tell you the story. There's Senator Zerwast in Texas. I'm just going to use his name because it's public information. He is not a friend of nurses. He's an anesthesiologist. No offense to the kind doctor in the room, but he is not a friend of nurses. So I decided that I'd get to know his staffer, and I was waiting outside the door, and she goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry I was late. I went down the hall to talk to so-and-so in that office about this great show." And I said, "What's the show?" And she said, "Have you ever heard of this show, you guys? Downton Abbey?"
Oh, yes.
Okay, it's a PBS show. I'm going to just tell you, hint, hint, find a common thing you can talk about. So I had some exchange. I got her card, very important exchange card. I emailed her later, and I said, "It was such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for taking your time. Thank you for sharing your issues with Senator Zerwas. I'm sure we can come to some kind of agreement that works for everybody. And by the way, I ordered that series, Downton Abbey. It looks interesting." She said, "Oh, thank you. It's great." Then I found out his wife wasn't feeling well. "I'm so sorry, Senator Zerwas' wife is feeling ill. Please pass my well wishes." And then I said, "By the way, I watched all 3 seasons of Downton Abbey. It's amazing." So now guess what? I have a relationship with Carrie. And we, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but we have this relationship. We both like Downton Abbey, and she's not going to forget me, and I'm not going to forget her. And even if I don't move Senator Zerwas' decision, it's better to be polite and kind because maybe somehow he might scooch in some way or another. So, and also, I asked her what her opinion was to address the issue, and she had a wealth of information. Okay, they're great. All politics are local. Like I said, it's very important to go to your representative's office in the home office. It's incredibly important. Absolutely get to know the staff. Here's another good thing. When you're out with your mobile breast cancer van or if there's some great event, you need to call your representative for a photo op. Because they like to show up at those events to show that they're supporting those events. Anytime you're doing anything public health, when you're doing something big with your MPH students, you invite your representative there or your senator or whoever's there for a photo op. Get an opportunity to educate them about public health. They love media. They like to shake hands, kiss babies, all that good stuff. Volunteer in their campaigns if you have time, if it's not a conflict. And go to town hall meetings. That's a great way to ask questions and get information. Now, I'm going to close with, I love this slide. Mind your P's and Q's, okay? You absolutely want to be professional, persistent, positive, proactive. You want to offer solutions. Be politically astute, not partisan. I cannot tell you how important it is, and it's taken me many years to get this. I mean, before I go in, kind of get butterflies and get kind of angry, and now I'm like, okay, it doesn't serve me any good, and we're trying to work for people. It's not about me. It's about the populations we serve. Absolutely be polite. I turn on that Southern charm to volume 10, okay? I turn it way, way up. You want to quell any desire to argue. You want to just use those good techniques to redirect. Quick to the point, quantify whenever possible. That's why I said build the business case. We're going to save $840,000, that kind of thing. And quench any negative comments. I mean, you want to totally redirect. And quality beats quantity. So in the negative comments, when Carrie says, "What about the TMA, the Texas Medical Association?" And all I say is, "I feel certain that we can come to some kind of agreement that, you know, I see that the TMA has concerns that need to be addressed, and I feel certain that we can do that." I don't want to bash the physicians I do not want to, that's not my job. So you want to leave them with a positive, you know, with the positive light. Always send a thank you note, handwritten thank you note. It's the polite thing. It reminds your legislator how passionate you are about the issue. It's an opportunity for sure to ask Carrie for an update, and it's another point of contact. Here's my references. Here's my contact information, and I really do want to thank Kathy Hutto at Jackson & Walker for her assistance with some of these slides. I wanted to make sure that they were comprehensive. I know this is kind of a down and dirty, maybe very familiar to some people, but I think they're just common basic information that we all need to remember.